evening, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show with me, Alon, and Nate is in the studio with us.
Hello.
This is the Chatterbox Game Show, and if you haven't heard it before, we're here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. We want you to call into the show and talk to us about video games. You can talk about other stuff, but, you know, we like video games. So, the local number here is 602-277-KFNX. If you're listening over the internet, you can call us toll-free anywhere in the U.S. and maybe even in Canada, apparently, at 866-536-1100, and all this information is repeated on our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. Okay, so we've got lots of stuff to talk about this week. I have a bunch of semi-important topics that I want to cover, at least important in my life. Last week we talked about Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and all of the craziness going on because of what's called the Hot Coffee mod. That's basically in-game simulated sex acts, for anyone who hasn't heard of it. You may have heard of this game in the past, or any Grand Theft Auto game, being in the news and senators hating it and basically everybody hating it because it's really violent. Although, especially because it was a violent game towards women because you could beat up prostitutes and stuff. Which really, I think, was key to enjoying it for a lot of people. Anyway, now it's in the news because of the Hot Coffee thing where you can have sex with your girlfriend and they show it. And the issue is that it's not really in the game officially. When you buy it, you can't just make it happen. You have to edit something in the game in order for that to happen. So, like, Elite Hacksaws got into the code of this game, changed part of it, and now that's, like, the company who makes the game is trying to make people think they didn't put it in the game and that the hackers actually inserted all this stuff. And then other people are saying, well, no, actually, you can get it. It is built into the game. They just took it out before release. Or rather, eliminated access to it, but it was still there. So anyway, all these people are going back and forth. Hillary Clinton is even in on the gig right now. She's trying to get legislation passed to make it illegal to sell this games with this sort of content to minors. They also want to, you know, fine stores like $5,000 or something to do it. And a lot of interesting things, or I discovered a lot of interesting things while I was doing research for this stuff. Nate?
Yeah.
You have anything to say about this?
I'm still upset that you broke my computer.
Yeah, I broke his computer right before we started. At least you can still see it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so here's what I found out. First of all, there's one attorney from Miami who's apparently really on the rampage against video games, and my guess is all pop culture. His name is... What's his name here? Jack Thompson. All right, so the Miami attorney Jack Thompson... he's on the rampage against Grand Theft Auto. He called the ESA, the Electronic Software... Man, I really should know what that stands for. Electronic Software Association, I think. He called them some names, telling them
bunch
basically...
Bunch of thugs run that place.
Telling them that they're criminals and thugs. And if you go to a website of his, I did a little research on him, go to stopkill.com. This is a really good website. It's basically an open casting call for anyone. It says... Anyone who knows someone harmed by violent video games. And it's just a long thing of text, basically about how he's the superhero of the censorship brigade and wants all these games to go away so that children can't get their hands on them.
I believe Captain No Fun is his name.
Captain No Fun. All right. So now, like, people would assume I would be dead against any sort of legislation applying to video games. That's pretty much what all the video game media has to say about it anyway. They say, no, we can't stop this. You don't do anything about movies. And they have a lot of junk to say that it shouldn't be restricted. And, of course, anyone who's an adult would realize that, you know what, there certainly is something to be said for stopping kids from getting into all of this material. And that's why the ESRB, Electronic Software Ratings Board, put together the rating system, you know, the 13 and the G, or their equivalents anyway, into the video games. And now there's talk about making Grand Theft Auto an adults-only title, which would basically take it out of all the stores that anyone cares about in the country. Basically, Walmart wouldn't be able to sell it, so the company would die, something like that. Anyway, I want to make a point that this attorney is a little bit nuts. I'm not completely against legislation and restriction of this material to kids, but the attorney, clearly, something's broken inside of his head. So, where's the part that I really, really liked? Are you looking at this site, Nate?
I have no internet access, because you're taking the only Ethernet cable.
Dude, we're ghetto. All right, so here's what he says. At the bottom of the stopkill.com website, and please go to it if you're on your computer right now, And the last line is, may God bless you in the meantime. If you have kids, have them start shooting hopes instead of humans. So clearly this guy has it all going on. So he has a phone number. If you want to know more about the copycatting of violent video games occurring across the country, contact Jack Thompson at 305-666-4366. Andrew, are you on top of this? I want to call this guy. All right, let me give you this phone number. You listen? All right, Andrew's on the ball. 305-666. I love how 666 is in the number for this guy. 4366. And we'll put this on air. I know it's going to be a recording, so that'll be a lot easier to handle. This is the first time we've made a live phone call on the air.
Please leave your message.
Hey, Jack. My name is... Hey, Jack. My name is Alon Weissman. I produce a radio show called the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. I wanted to invite you onto our show sometime in the coming weeks to discuss the situation that's been going on with the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas hot coffee mod and all the sex scandal and stuff. You might assume that I'd be steadfast against legislation and all these things, and really, I take a little more objective view, although some of our listeners might feel that legislation is just nothing to be touched. Anyway, I want you to give me a call. The radio station's phone number is 602-277-KFNX. Call anytime, ask for me, and someone will leave a message. That'd be great. Thanks a lot. Bye. All right, so obviously, I'm never going to get a call from this guy, but you guys can do the same. And, of course, he left his cell number, so if you want to talk to him in person...
Please do, the way.
Go for it. Also has a mailing address, so you can send him mail as long as it doesn't have anything illegal in it. I would be happy if you sent him mail. Read his site first, though, so you know what he's talking about. One thing that's great on the site, it says that in 1992... I gotta find this. In 1992, the American Civil Liberties Union named Jack Thompson... Are you listening, Nate?
Yeah, that's fantastic. Actually, I got it onto the site.
All right, named Jack Thompson one of its 10 censors of the year for daring to suggest that Time Warner rapper Ice-T's Cop Killer should be pulled from store shelves worldwide. So he's a censor of the year, and that just, I mean, that's got to warm the cockles of your heart, just hearing that. So someone else who's jumped into the fray, I mentioned Hillary Clinton is getting on this. She's on the bandwagon, and what I find interesting is this quote that's on Hillary Clinton's official government website. It says, no wonder these games are falling into the hands of our children, and no wonder so many parents feel every day like they're fighting this battle with their hands tied behind their backs. We need to do better. We need to do everything we can to make sure the parents have a line of defense against violent and graphic video games and other content that go against the values they are trying to instill in their children. Like I said, this is a quote directly from her official government website. Now, some of you who pay attention might remember that Bill Clinton was
down on the V-chip.
Exactly. He was all about making the V-chip mandatory. The V-chip is the thing that allows you to restrict programming on your television. That's why all the television shows nowadays have ratings on them too. So like you can say, I don't want my kid to watch TVR shows. So you open up your V-chip menu and you say, restrict access to anything that's TVR rated or TVPG rated or whatever you want to restrict it. Now, Microsoft took a cue from this, and they built right into the Xbox machine, as easily accessible as the V-chip, actually easier in my opinion, you can restrict games based on the ratings. So all the games that are released for the Microsoft Xbox, current system, been around for 4 years now, they all have this built right into it. They know the rating when you put the disc in. So Grand Theft Auto is rated mature. If you put it in the Xbox, and the Xbox is passcoded against... games that are rated mature, it won't play. So what's funny is that current generation systems, or at least the Xbox, the other two don't really have this ability, but I think the future ones will, I would assume anyway. So basically something that the Clintons were for before, and I'm sure that Hillary was all for the V-chip, exactly the same defense, exactly analogous. And she's saying that their hands are tied behind their backs, they don't know. All she has to do is figure out that this stuff exists, become educated about the stuff that she's discussing, and maybe she'll have a better time attacking it. Anyway, we're going to go to break. If you want to talk to me about this, please go right ahead. 602-277-KFNX or toll-free numbers online at chatterboxgameshow.com. We will be right back after these messages.
authors. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Before we move on, I've got to mention our wonderful sponsor, UAT. If you go to UAT.edu, that is the University of Advancing Technology, you can learn what you need to do to get into the video game industry by attending their school. You can be a producer, developer, all those things.
Artist, anything you want.
Yeah, just by visiting the website, and then you are instantly given all the knowledge necessary to get into the industry. So, I want you to give me a call.
One thing I wanted to mention, Julie Stoffer will be on next week. We'll have her on the show.
Why don't you let me... This is my gig.
So, hey, I'm stealing your thunder because you broke my computer.
Oh my god, every break we're going to be talking about this.
That's right, we are.
All right, so call us at 602-277- KFNX. Now, I found out, I sort of thought Andrew was dropping some of the audio last segment. There was a cell phone number, which I won't repeat, so don't get your finger near the button. All right.
I bet that can be up on the...
Oh, now I can.
Oh, we can give it now, huh?
No, I'm not going to, because I don't even know what it is. I'd have to listen to the message again. Anyway, that awesome attorney in Miami, Florida, Jack Thompson, his website is stopkill.com. There's a phone number at the bottom to reach him, and if you call, he gives a cell phone number in the message. Really? I don't know if calling a cell phone would do anything for anybody, but...
Probably get his voicemail than anything.
In the spirit of full disclosure, I don't want you guys to miss out on anything or wonder what was missing in those 6 seconds that we dropped. Now, yes, as Nate was mentioning, Julie Stoffer, and if I say that name, nobody knows who it is.
She was on The Real World some time back and also helps host a show on G4, I believe.
Exactly. So she is the girl from the New Orleans episode of The Real World on MTV. And she also helps host Electric Playground on G4 Tech TV. I'm going to get her to talk about her love of video games and her hosting the show and basically how she got into that gig. She's going to be on the show next week. Now, we do have a history of guests not actually showing up for the show or calling in. So
we do.
I'm saying that she's going to be on, and she is booked. But whether or not she actually shows up, that's up in the air.
Maybe if she's not like tied up playing Resident.
But she's a stand-up lady. I talked to her when I booked her for the show, and... It was an amazing experience. I think I told you about this, Nate, already.
I believe you did, yeah.
When I called her to book her on the show, right, I didn't realize, but I had a number direct to her, which was funny. I was expecting to get G4 or something. So I'm talking to her, and she's like, you know, middle of the day. Of course, she has a weird job, not a 9-to-5. So she's just sitting playing a game. She's like, oh, I'm playing Silent Hill right now. She couldn't keep a conversation with me to save her life. She was too busy playing this game. She was too distracted. So, of course, I instantly fell in love. Hopefully she's listening and will date me. Yeah, she loves video games too much to talk to me on the phone, and I just thought that was fantastic. I think my friend Wes will get a big kick out of that, too. Okay, so... Do you want to talk any more about this Grand Theft Auto stuff?
If you mention the Hillary Clinton thing, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that it's actually in the game, which I always thought it was.
Yeah, we all knew. Rockstar put out their release saying that... Basically, without saying that people injected the data into the game, they did everything they could... To
basically
be like Bill Clinton and play with words and make it look like they had inserted it, when in fact all they did was open a hex editor and change a bit from like a 0 to a 1 or vice versa or something. So the point is that unlocking it in the game, not so tough. They just made it sound tough that it would sort of like relieve them of some of their stress. It'll be really interesting if this game is suddenly converted over to an adults only version. Because that'd be the first mainstream title turned into adults only.
Well, not really. Wasn't The Singles? That was an adult game.
I don't know if The Single is mainstream, dude. We're talking AAA, wait in line to get this game.
No. All right, okay. I'll give you that.
And I don't even know. I assume... I don't know if it was mature or adults only.
Well, weren't the Leisure Suit Larry games? They were adult. They were.
Yeah, but it wasn't adults only. Dude, I'm breaking your computer more.
I know.
All right.
Jesus.
We're going to move on. Basically, if someone wants to call and talk about it, we'll talk about it. 602-277-KFNX. Now, there was something else I read today, which just, this stuff is making me furious. A few weeks ago, we talked about, or I mentioned, really, Reggie Fils-Aimé from Nintendo, VP of Marketing at Nintendo, just saying a lot of stupid things. And some of the things he said led us all to believe that Nintendo is caring a lot more about business and the business model than about the heart of the gamer and doing what's good for the gamer on sort of a root emotional level, and they're going for the money. And, you know, if their revenue was based solely on the GameCube and therefore non-existent, I would sort of agree, you know, because it would be like sort of a last stand effort.
Yeah.
But they're making tons of dough. They've got money coming in from all sorts of places. That Game Boy Advance and Nintendo DS is making them money hand over fist. So when they say, really, we could have made this game, and by that they mean Metroid Prime Hunters for the Nintendo DS, we could have made this game online, but Nintendo's vision of online play is different from that of other companies.
Well, first of all, it has to be free for everybody.
Yeah, it has to be free for everybody, which I don't know if they're going to do that. Because their future games, Nintendo's Mario Kart, or Super Mario Kart, and Animal Crossing, is going to work with, you know, your router in your house where you pay for your ISP, and they could have done the same thing with Metroid. So it's not like they don't have some moral rule against doing this. Their issue is, we want it to be free, easy, and easy to access for everybody. Okay, I can understand that. To set up the kind of infrastructure that we needed, and they've been talking about setting up this infrastructure, you know, basically with free towers everywhere, which I swear is never going to happen. In order to do this and meet the launch date that we have, the two just didn't match. So I wanted to explain to me why they have to build a feature which will only be used the day it comes out. Because I don't understand. Do they expect people to just play this game the first week that it comes out? Do they want people to only play the first week?
I would assume so, if that's the way that this guy's talking.
Like, they have to appreciate the game for the game. People are still playing Super Mario Brothers, you know. When 5 years down the line, they release a remake. Hell, 15 years down the line, they just released a new version of, or an updated version of Super Mario for the Game Boy Advance, right? Really not updated, it's just the same thing in a Game Boy Advance cartridge. What the hell? They say, oh, you know what, 6 months down the road, we're not going to put this functionality in because you could use it 6 months from now. We're not going to put it in because you can't use it now. And it's really stupid. And clearly, like, it means, okay, we would have to put some effort into making this feature. And since people wouldn't use it because they'll stop playing the game 6 months from now, well,
are they assuming that the game sucks?
And no, you know what they're doing? They're getting people to pay for a game, full price, sort of like it, and then set themselves up for the sequel. Which basically the big feature will be
multiplayer.
Look at that. Multiplayer. Rather than, you know, throwing a developer at it. And it wouldn't be so bad, but they flat out said, we could have made this game online. We could have. Be like, all right, then do it, you twits. Because you could make it like your like Mario Kart and work on the current router I have at my house.
Well, you know, this also leads up to the HD thing with the Revolution. That, you know, we could put it in, but we don't want to.
Yeah, but people don't have HD TVs when it comes out, so 3 years down the line, well, we don't want to look towards the future.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. Nintendo's making a string of bad decisions, and if they, like, everyone's entitled to one or two, you know? And they're just making a bunch of bad ones. And their speech at this year's E3 was all about the money as well. He came out and he's like, you know what? How many games have we sold? I'm going to give you two words. I can't even remember, but it, basically just chiming on about how they've sold 2 billion games since the dawn of the NES. You know, counting Game Boy and Super Nintendo and all that stuff, right? 2 billion cartridges, and how Sony hasn't sold that many games, and they're avoiding the heart of the issue here. They talk about, oh, we have Mario games. Look, we've got Soccer Mario and Baseball Mario and Mario Party, yay! And
well, this is another thing with Nintendo that mainly it's like a lot of sequels with them now.
Yeah, well, they're creating franchises, and other people have made the point that, you know, what is a franchise, right?
Yeah.
It's a bunch of sequels, right? And I appreciate having a lot of Mario, but they're money grubbing right now, and they need to make a shift. I don't know if it's, you know, new people in charge that's making all this stuff happen or what, but, you know, they're not strapped for cash. They got plenty going on. They're in a good position, and there's no reason for them to be acting the way they're acting, because in the long run, which is what they have to face, they're just hurting themselves. Seriously, I want some of you guys to call in and talk about this stuff. 602-277-KFNX or 866 That's the number, 866-536-1100. That's toll-free anywhere in the U.S. Give us a call and tell me what you think of this Nintendo thing, because it's just, it's silly. Doesn't make any sense.
Another thing on the game front is EB Games, or no, what do I want to say? GameStop and IGM are going public.
No, GameSpot.
Spy. Spot?
Yeah. It's not GameStop, like you said. IGN.
Yeah. There we go. I'm looking at GameSpot, and I'm thinking GameSpy, and the wires got crossed up in the head.
I understand.
I'm all devastated because you broke my computer, so I'm not even in the right mind today.
Clearly it's broken as you're staring at the computer right now. they're going public, and I will sort of let that segue into our next topic of EB Games and GameStop, because they are public, and we're going to be talking about them in a minute.
Yeah.
Being public has been very good for them, especially since they joined forces, or announced that they're going to join forces. But in the long run, what does that mean to us? Not a whole lot. So you can own a piece of them, but that's about it. Yeah, all right. It looks like we do have a caller. We could take, what do we have, like a minute left? All right, let's take Shay. Shay from Phoenix.
Hello?
Hey there.
Hey,
you're
Shay.
On the air.
Hey. I was just noticing that Nate doesn't talk very much.
I was devastated the first segment because, as I stated before, Alon had broken my computer.
I broke his friggin' USB port, but he's got others.
Oh, really? Just within the last hour, he broke your computer?
Yeah, right before we went on the air. I'm telling you, he has three others, and I offered him a USB hub.
Uh-huh.
Which I already have, by the way. It's actually sitting...
So clearly, he doesn't need that USB port anyway. Anyway, did you have a question, Shay, or just wanted to chime in?
Yeah, did you just want to rag on me?
No. It smells like ash outside because sun's burning.
Yeah, well, that's Phoenix for you.
We're always on fire during the summer.
Armpit of the country here in Phoenix. All right, we're going to break now. Thanks for calling, Shay, with all that useful information. So we're going to break. Stay tuned and give us a call when we come back. This is Chatterbox. We're back! Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show on the air, at least today, until we get sued by Jack Thompson, because he has a horrible website. We were just talking during the break.
Yeah.
This lawyer we were mentioning, I noticed this, but forgot to talk about it, that, of course, at the head of his website where it says, hey, let us know if you know someone, destroyed by the violence of video games, right? So clearly, he's not an ambulance chaser, right? He doesn't want to just get business off of this.
Oh, no.
He has an advertiser at the top of his website. Which, really, not so professional. Now, we might have advertisers on our website, but this is a profit venture.
That's really showing that he cares.
Yeah. And actually, right now, we don't have advertisers on the website, so more professional than him. All right, what do we want to talk about now? I've got to talk about EB Games. We promised to talk about this. Someone, and I should make a point of this, Adam called in a couple weeks ago from Canada.
First ever Canadian caller.
Yeah, first ever. Right. I'm very proud of that. He immediately went onto the forums on our website, which you can do as well. Go to chatterboxgameshow.com, and there's a button at the top to go to the forums, and you can interact with us anytime, not just during the show. And he wanted us to discuss, I'm not sure what, just my feelings on EB Games.
I think it was their lack of, not business pizzazz, but their forethinking. It was about NetDogs, and they couldn't understand why it wasn't...
NetDogs.
Well, listen, I'm not good with names. I tend to forget
only
a lot.
Only one of the biggest titles released by Nintendo this year.
It was close, and that's what counts.
Okay.
But anyways, they were saying that they couldn't understand why it wasn't selling very well in the U.S., and I think it would be obvious to us, or anyone with common sense, that us in America have, pretty much very easy access to get pets, whereas in Japan, it's a little tighter, a little harder.
Yeah. Now, his feelings go a little bit deeper, and maybe he can't express them because he works for them. Now, as some people who pay attention to the show a lot might know that I used to work for both EB Games and GameStop. In fact, I managed a GameStop. I was, high on the ladder there. He brought up the Nintendogs thing, and he didn't say that it wasn't selling well because it's not released yet.
There weren't good pre-orders.
Yeah, the pre-orders weren't great. Do we have him on the line? Is that... All right, well, we're going to keep him on hold for a second and then get to him. So... Anyway, he says this. Want to hear what you guys have to say about EB Games and GameStop. At this time, I work at EB Games. and he refers to it as a sinking ship. And so my feelings on these companies, the state of the retail union, is this. First of all, they're doing wonderfully from a business sense. If you have been paying attention, they joined forces. GameStop bought EB Games. And EB's stock has actually been doing really well before this joint venture. And GameStop, actually, I lost money with GameStop when I worked for them in their stock. But it's actually, since GameStop bought them, or since GameStop bought EB Games, GameStop stock has done very well as well. And in fact, if you owned any EB Games, you're just rolling in it right now because they doubled in the past month, doing fantastically. So they're making good business decisions. And a lot of people rag on the retail stores right now because of the prevalence of pre-orders and, you know, maybe getting away from coddling of the the customers and all, just becoming very corporate. And this is a tough thing for kids to see a lot, but when you age a little bit, you realize this is going on everywhere. And what I've seen at these two companies is actually much better than I've seen or heard of from other places. I actually really respect, after having worked for them, I respect a lot of the things that go on at the companies. It's kind of annoying to have to sell magazines when you're working at a game store. But in terms of corporate practice and ethics and really just the way they run the company, it's done really well, and I appreciate it. You know, a store that'll open up and like get permission from a mall to stay open until midnight just so they can sell games 8 hours early to people who really want them, I don't think they're selling any more copies because they're going to sell out that first day of whatever game that is.
Well, it's all pre-orders.
Anyway, yeah, but they get they pay their employees, you know, money to stay in the store longer, and they put all this extra effort in, and they move shipments from the planes as fast as they can to get it on day one. They give you the calls ahead of time, and I know plenty of managers bend over backwards to help their key customers, people who just come in there a lot and create a rapport. So I appreciate them. I think they're doing a good job in general. Of course, I have my complaints. They make some silly decisions. For instance, you know, no one has called me to sponsor the show. What's their problem? But in general, they're doing a good job. So now, let's take Adam. He's called in. What a surprise. Are you there, Adam?
Hello?
All right, you're on the air, even though I can't really hear you.
Yeah, same here.
How's that? Is that better?
There
a little
you
bit,
are.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's you or us.
It's me. My phone's crappy.
Oh.
All right.
So, do you have a response to this?
I don't know if it's different for U.S. and Canada, but like in Canada, it's really bad right now.
All right. Describe bad. What is bad?
With the company right now, they don't really care about selling new items. It's all about the pre-owned right now.
That's true. That's true everywhere.
Yes.
But really, what that comes down to is how hard your particular boss pushes it, and so how hard, you know, his regional boss is pushing it and all that. But in general, that's definitely distributed from the top of the company. They say, we need to sell this. I assume you know why.
Yep.
Right. All right. So for those who don't, selling something used, it's the bread and butter for these companies, and that's why they do it so much. And that's why when you walk into the store, the first game you see is a used game with the yellow sticker or the big used banner on it,
yeah.
Right? Because they make a buttload more money on a used game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll sell you refurbishing service and all this stuff. And that's because they're able to buy those used games at like a tenth of what they buy the real game for. And then they sell it for almost as much as...
Well, don't they only cut like, I think it was like 10 bucks or something like that?
Actually, to say a tenth and then selling it for the same amount, that's not true. But once the game's a little bit older, they give you like $5 or $6 for it. And they'll sell it for as much as like $25 or $30.
Yeah.
Seriously big margin.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your problem with them doing that?
It actually is a margin. It's way too big. I just want to have one example. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas for the PS2.
Yep.
We sell it used for $49.
Okay.
And we give $7 for it.
$7?
$7.
Wow. That's still like change in Canada.
Yeah.
Like you have a $2 coin now?
So, now, how much does a new game go for at your store? 60 or 70?
It'd be 59, so $10 more.
Okay, so that's pretty much the same, because here the games go for 50, and we sell the drop-down tier for a brand new game is 45.
Mm-hmm.
All right, although sometimes some stores, like, they'll sell the game for 55 and used for 48 or something, but most of the time it's 50 and 55 US.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll explain to everybody why this happens, and perhaps you haven't thought about it, but I assume you have.
Yeah.
a game like GTA, they know, sells millions and millions of copies. And this happens with any of the huge, huge games, although I haven't heard of the trade-in value being so low for these past games. But what happens is they sell so many, and inevitably, whatever the game is, even if it's a good game, they get a bunch of these sold back to the store. So they end up basically giving them away in promotions, like, hey, when you buy a PS2, we'll give you a free copy of this game or this game or this game, right? Because they have so many copies they can't sell them. And so they probably are just preempting that problem and giving you even less for this game because it was so popular. Now, it doesn't really make enough sense to me because still the game is worth more, right? Especially since you're selling it for $50. And there should be a clear correlation between the selling price and the buying price. But they're looking to the future and realizing that they're going to have extras of these. And this is something they do with sports games, especially. The day that 2006 Madden comes out, actually more like a month or two before, trying to sell the previous year's version, or God forbid, a two-year-old version to the store, will get you absolutely no money. And it's really funny when I see a customer come in with Madden 2002, 3, 4, as well as like the NCAAs and the hockey games and everything, and they get like $10 for these five games or something. It's ridiculous. So this is something you're aware of, Adam.
Yep.
I hope. Okay. So this bothers you because you feel like they're ripping customers off.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, yeah, I agree to a point. There should be a clearer correlation. And if they want to sell it, they need to bite the bullet and do the right thing, give their customers a little bit more money. For the most part, I haven't seen such a deviation in the prices that you just described. And I hope you don't get fired for telling those prices on the air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Canada. It's a big country, kind of.
Yeah, no one will hear it.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Actually, pretty much across the board, they don't give enough for the used games. And that is actually where the mom and pop, or just smaller stores, are starting to flourish, because they're able to get customers in there that sell a lot of games and realize that these stores are going to give you more money for your used stuff. And occasionally, especially if you're dealing with cash, at EB Games and GameStop, you can get cash for your games, but it's 20% less. I don't know how that works in Canada, if there's laws against it or what.
Well, with the exchange rate.
Forget the exchange rate. But can you get cash in your store?
No.
No, not even for someone who's an adult?
Well, EB doesn't want to give customers money. They want them to spend it in the store.
All right. Well, that policy may be regional, but they, at least in the past, they shifted last year, I think, or 2 years ago, to the option to give cash, but they gave less, which is actually something that Funko Land did years ago, and Funko Land is now GameStop. So a lot of these old ideas are coming back into the fray, and that's because people will bring in all this stuff, and they just, I don't care, I want cash for it, because they need to buy drugs or whatever. Anyway, if you want to stay on the line and talk more about it, go right ahead. That's what I have to say about GameStop. Corporate culture, good. I did forget that, yeah, they completely rip people off buying used games, but in the long run, they need to, because a lot of games they get are broken. Anyway, we're going to go to break, talk about
some
other things.
Don't they test them, though, before you actually...
No. I have some good things to say about, actually, Electronic Arts, EA Games. So stay tuned, because that's pretty rare.
Something good about them?
Yeah.
That's odd.
We'll be right back.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technologies graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
Hey there, we're back for our last segment, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Before we move on, you should go to UAT.edu. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. You hear them. They sponsor our show. We love them. They're great. Now, I just had a conversation with Adam from Canada, the EB Games guy, who wanted us to talk about the company. We're going to bring him back on the air so that we can talk a little bit more about this, because he made a point. He was saying that the amount they give for used, this is what we talked about before, not the give for used game when you sell it to them as a customer, really, really big difference, right? And then he was talking about the quotas that you have to meet, right? As an employee there, they say, hey, you need to sell so much used, and you need to sell so many magazines. And at EB Games, he's not selling magazines because GameStop does that. But you may have had to in the past. Did you sell the magazines in Canada?
Yep.
Okay. I wasn't sure if Canada did that. Because in the U.S., you couldn't sell a magazine subscription to someone who lived in another country. But I guess within Canada, you can sell to Canada. Maybe.
I had the GMR magazine, but it got canceled by the Ziff Davis company.
Yeah, exactly. So EB Games is out of that until they turn into GameStop, and then you'll be selling GMRs, or not GMRs, but Game Informer, right? So anyway, Adam was saying that the quotas you have to meet are getting harsher. And tell me what happened. When these quotas went up, what happened to the people in the company?
A lot of the store managers around the Ontario area left, like in Toronto, Oshawa, places like that.
All right, so they just bailed.
Yeah.
Now, I honestly don't visit these stores much. Now that I don't work there, I'm not in there all the time because I get all my news elsewhere, right? I already know what's going on, so I don't go in to hang out with the guys. And I don't have this close rapport. Last time I went into a store that I can remember, I pissed off the guys there because I was trying to get quotes from them about how all their PSPs are broken.
They hated that.
Yeah, they were not fans. So I just managed to bug them. But yeah, so the quota thing, this does make it a little harder to be an employee. And for like, I don't know how old you are, Adam, but when, you know, your standard 16, 17, 18-year-old kid goes into this store because he loves video games, right? Chances are he may be a little antisocial to begin with, considering he's going to a video game store.
Yeah.
And then he's got to like get out there and sell magazine subscriptions and pay attention to quotas of selling stuff. And he's like, dude, I'm here for the love of the game. I'm trying to sell, you know, bring the beauty of gaming into your living room, and now you're telling me I have to be a salesman with a bow tie and stuff? It is tough. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people get sort of thrown off guard and upset that they have to make these quotas. But, again...
Well, it is a business.
Yeah. As a business person, you realize it's necessary. And the difference in the income for that company when they weren't pushing, you know, magazine subscriptions and pushing used to the income they're making now, it's absolutely astronomical. And, I mean, they've turned into a serious force in terms of, you know, company size and income, and the fact that they've gone public and made huge sums of money, well, for stockholders and for the people in the company. You know, they're no Walmart, but they're a real company. They're not just like, oh, that cute little company that sells video games, right? Anyway, there's a couple other things I want to cover before we go. We only have a few more minutes, so I'm going to jump out of this stuff. I appreciate your calling in, Adam, and all the work.
Can I quickly say something?
Yeah, go right ahead.
My PSP, if I press down in the middle of my screen,
yeah,
it makes the system think I'm pushing up on the analog stick.
Oh, that's killer.
Really?
No, it sucks. When I'm trying to play the NES games or SNES games, it like boots me into the desktop of the system. It just all blows.
Yeah. Wow, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
See, another reason that I don't have a PSP.
That's a feature. It's screen feedback.
Well, you remember the issue with the square button in Japan, right?
Yeah.
All right, square button in the past was sticking because they had to, like, they didn't shave off a piece of plastic or something for that button because it was closest to the screen. And anyway, big hullabaloo there. Anyway, we're going to say goodbye to Adam so I can move on a little bit.
Adam,
Thank you very much.
I ask you a real quick question?
Oh, my God.
I've been up to Canada a few times, and I haven't been in there for a couple of years. But is there still Robin Donuts? Are they still around?
I've never seen one.
Really?
Funny, yeah.
Robin Donuts?
Robin's Donuts. They're like the best donuts in the world.
That's a good question. I'll allow it.
All right.
Because I love donuts.
Can I quickly say one more thing, please?
Hey, Go for it.
Two more things. What do you...
I want everybody who's listening over the internet,
yeah,
to tell a friend about it, the show, and get them to listen to it.
That's what I was going to say. Adam has done... I looked at our stats for the website. He's been pushing this show like a pimp.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We really need to hire him as like a PR person or something.
My promo guy, my international promo guy. That'd be great. Thanks for all the work you've been doing.
That's why I send a shout out to my friend Adam, who's actually listening, who I made listen.
Oh, Adam says hello to Adam.
Yeah, it's funny.
All right.
Hey, Adam.
So
and
that's
Adam.
Two Adams from Canada.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks. Time.
And, of course, you should call in the future as well, because, well, nobody else is.
Yeah.
But if you do want to call us, we got a few minutes left. 866-536-1100. Proof's in the pudding. It's toll-free anywhere, even in Canada. Maybe not on Mars or in countries other than the U.S. and Canada.
Mexico, okay. Maybe?
Perhaps in Mexico, but I don't know. I mean, do they have phone lines in Mexico?
Like, I think they have three.
I don't know. All right, I hope we don't get sued for that. Some other things. We've only got a couple minutes. I said I was going to say something good about EA. So here it is. It'll sound even better when I say something bad about them. Battlefield 2, very, very, very popular PC game released recently. It needed a patch. Now, a lot of PC games have this problem, in my opinion, that you have to download a patch to fix a lot of the issues with the game that appear, you know, you paid good money for this game out of the box, the CD in the box or the DVD has issues. And this is a perfect example of why I never play PC games, virtually never, and why I play console games. Because
this is also the reason why I buy PC games late. Usually the problems are fixed by then.
Now, really, with the age of the Xbox now, there are patches now for games, so this problem could get bigger and face the consoles as well, especially with hard drives being integrated into these systems. But yeah, you had to patch the game. That's a whole topic we could talk about forever, the issue of patching. But
caused a lot of problems with the new patch.
That's the concern. So people have this game that has some problems. They say, okay, I'll patch it. That'll fix the problems, but it created more. And it's actually not the first time this has happened either.
Yeah.
Happens a lot. And you're a PC gamer, so you know better than me.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's just great, though, because this patch was so bad that they went online and they're like, you know what? You need to uninstall your game and start fresh. Play the unpatched version, and we'll get back on it. Now, really, the way they handled the bad patch, I got to give them a hand because they were forthright about it rather than trying to cover up stuff. And like Far Cry had a lot of... They're lying about when they're going to release patches and when they're going to release SDKs and all that stuff.
Weren't they saying it was something... It wasn't their fault. It was like the video card or something like that.
Yeah, and Far Cry is not at all related to EA, so I'm not trying to make that connection. But a lot of companies, they try to cover stuff up or just not respond. And EA did a good job of trying to deal with the problem. Unfortunately, they were the ones who created the problem, but...
Well, they also did a good move, and they pushed Godfather into 2006 instead of releasing it sooner.
That is the good stuff. Now, you might recall a few months ago, actually, after E3. Do you remember me ranting about this?
Yeah.
All right, so when I talked to the guy there, and I'm like, hey, yeah, it's going to come out on release for the Xbox 360, huh? That means November of this year. And we were only in May, right? So 6 months to make this game from where it was, which was not very
early, like alpha or something like that.
Yeah, he called it an alpha. To turn that around to a full release in 6 months, it's insane. Absolutely insane. And I mentioned this to him. I said, yeah, that's not a good idea. And historically, EA has done this, especially with their yearly release of titles, and had problems where the game just wasn't up to snuff. Now, the advantage for them here is that there's no Godfather movie coming out, so they don't have to time it for the Godfather movie, and they pushed it back. So the Xbox version, PS2 version, all the current gen stuff is going to be released like early 2006. And they pushed back the next-gen stuff to not be simultaneous release, pushed it back even later. So I'm assuming Christmas or like June or something of next year, which really, really good move. It'll probably still have a lot of problems and not have
as
much content.
But it'll be better.
Yeah, but it'll be way better than if they tried to push it out for Christmas. And I really appreciate them finally deciding to do this and, oh my God, miss a Christmas season. They're going to be in a lot better position by putting that game off. And the reason it's such a good thing is that it actually, you know, it pissed off some investment people, some analysts, and, you know, they dropped their rating on EA's stock. And of course, like we were mentioning in the last segment, stock is so, so important for these companies. It pretty much drives everything they do. So facing a reduction in their stock price momentarily, they did the right thing. And so I appreciate them for that. So we're out of time. I'll take 1 second to mention that Microsoft has exclusive rights for Marvel
All
Comics.
All Marvel for an MMO.
For MMO versions of Marvel games, Marvel Comics games, which is sort of a big coup, and we'll see how that turns out, especially for the 360 and their MMO games. We're going to go. Thank you, Nate. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you, UAT.
Yep.
So we're going to go. Be back here next week, everybody.
Later.